2 Corinthians 4, verse 5 to 18 in the NIV. We do not preach about ourselves, but we preach that Jesus Christ is Lord and that we are your servants for Jesus. God once said, "Let the light shine out of the darkness." This is the same God who made his light shine in our hearts by letting us know the glory of God that is in the face of Christ. We have this treasure from God, but we are like clay jars that hold the treasure. This shows that the great power is from God, not from us. We have troubles all around us, but we are not defeated. We do not know what to do, but we do not give up the hope of living. We are persecuted, but God does not leave us. We are hurt sometimes, but we are not destroyed. We carry the death of Jesus in our own bodies so that the life of Jesus can also be seen in our bodies. We are alive, but for Jesus, we are always in danger of death so that the life of Jesus can be seen in our bodies that die. So death is working in us, but life is working in you. It is written in the scriptures, "I believe, so I spoke." Our faith is like this too. We believe and so we speak. God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, and we know that God will also raise us with Christ. God will bring us together with you, and we will stand before him. All these things are for you, and so the grace of God that is being given is more and more. People will bring increasing thanks to God for his glory. So we do not give up. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker, but our spirit inside us is made new every day. We have small troubles for a while now, but they are helping us gain an eternal glory that is much greater than the troubles. We set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Ima. Let's give Ima and the band a wonderful round of applause just to say thank you. Good morning. Good to see you all. So if you do have your Bibles, keep that passage open because we're going to keep revisiting that. So that's 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to have a few other scriptures as well, so don't worry about flicking between them all, but I will be reading out different things that are coming up. Good to see you. So we have the pleasure today of being able to look at the last of our Cultivate series. So this is week 4, believe it or not. How quickly these weeks go by. And I just want to remind you of what the definition of cultivate is. Why it is that we have spent 4 weeks looking at this subject. The definition is to foster growth, to improve or develop, to prepare, to break up the soil in preparation for sowing and planting. So we recognise how important it is for us as Christians to grow. It's basically the long and short of it. Do you agree? Yeah. Not so sure about that, are you? Christians in the room, do you agree? We need to grow. We need to grow. So Georgia started off looking at why we need a relationship with God. Aaron brought a word on getting revelation from God's word. And last week, Anna was looking at connecting in different ways with God and with each other. So today we are going to be looking at the outworking of our revelation. Oh, that sounds very posh, doesn't it? Now, I'm not posh, so that's okay, because we'll break that down a little bit. But basically, when we have been a Christian for any length of time, we need to start looking at the longevity of faith. If we could name this a different message, I would call it a tale of two halves. Because sometimes we have the wonderful, healthy, everything's going great, I could have a faith to move mountains moments. And then at other times, everything is not great, life's tough, and we hit those moments of despair. Oh, don't like them. But they are all part of growth. Of growth. And so it is very important that we don't just focus on the, hey, woohoo, Pentecostals, we're very good at this, yay, get their arms in the air, let's just. And there are times when that sacrifice of praise is actually the ones where we grow the most. So at the beginning of that passage that Ima read then, so beautifully, by the way, Ima, so beautifully. It actually has a subheading where it says, present weakness and resurrection life. So we're going to break this down into two different things. When we look at our resurrection life, when our faith is good, we understand that Jesus has died for us. Everything we have sang and praised and prayed this morning, that God is good and he overcomes all things. Victory is his over all sin and death. That is our living hope, isn't it? Isn't it? You know, that is our living hope. And we need to let ourselves get excited and wrestle with that and understand the reality of what that means. The resurrection hope that lives in us. And we need to do that while we wrestle with present weakness. This beautiful treasure that is in jars of clay. To show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So when we're feeling hard-pressed on every side, to remember we are not crushed. To remember that when we are perplexed, but we are not in despair. When we are persecuted, we are not abandoned. When we are struck down, we are not destroyed. We are not destroyed. But we have this tension where we carry within us, the very next verse summarizes this so well, that we carry in our body always, always, this tension. The body is showing the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be revealed. Wow. Death is at work in us. So life is at work in you. We have this tension of life, the good bits, the bad bits, the health, the ill health. And that can be body, mind, soul, and spirit, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We are complete, holistic people where everything has that knock-on effect. And health is more than everything going okay and it looking good. It's more than no worries. Oh, nearly felt a song coming on there. No worries. That's why I am not in the worship team. So, as a church, we try our best to facilitate different things that will help with growth for us as a church family. We do the best we can. We put on events. We have courses. We have different ways that you can serve and get alongside each other and have an outworking of that faith. But I want to be really honest with you right now that actually you need to take responsibility for the growth of your relationship with God. We can put on all singing, dancing, bells and whistles, and it can sit and mean nothing. You have the responsibility for your growth and your relationship with God. It's not up to Cookie to cheer you on and say, come on, come on, come on. It's up to you getting before God and saying, God, I need to grow. I need to grow. So we had the privilege of having our lovely Barry Woodward with us in Horwich a couple of weeks ago. And we know that Barry is an incredible gift to us. He uses his story and his ministry to lead people to Jesus, to show this transforming power of Jesus through a story of brokenness and where people had given up on him, to remind everyone that there is hope. There is hope, and this is the hope we live by, isn't it? So at the end of that, when people respond to become Christians, to say, I want to see my life transformed, I want Jesus as my Lord and Saviour, then they get what we call a response pack. Now, in this response pack, there's a little thing to read about what you do now, how to become a Christian. There's also what used to be a DVD that had a wonderful video message from Barry saying what you need to do now. You need to pray. You need to read your Bible. And you need to join a church. Now, the latest little packs that we give out don't have DVDs anymore. Ooh. They have a very fancy thing called a QR code. Put your hand up if you don't actually know what a QR code is. No, don't. So basically, every time there's a load of splodges, that's a QR code, and you can... I'm so technical. This is, if you want tech explained, come to me. Lots of splodges. You scan it with your phone, and that miraculously takes you to the same video. How impressive is that? What is this witchcraft that I see before me with this technology? And you go to this video and there's Barry saying, you need to pray. You need to read your Bible. You need to join a church. So the way that we're communicating these things may change, but what we're communicating is exactly the same. So this whole series of how to grow, pray, read your Bible, keep involved and together with your local church. That's all we need to say. So the reality of these foundations of faith. Speaking the truth in love, this is Ephesians 4, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, all of us, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So we pray, we read our Bible, and we learn how, as supporting ligaments, we help each other to grow in love. Because sometimes we'll be the ones that have got the strength and the faith to be able to support, and we are those ligaments that are supporting others. The thing that's not so easy is when it's our turn to need supporting, and that's every single one of us. Now, we don't really like that bit so much as Christians, do we? We like to know that we're the ones bringing change and transformation, and we have this incredible, all-surpassing power of Christ within us. But part of our growth is that there is times when we need to be supported by these beautiful supporting ligaments that is local church. And I know that everything in us, when we're going through tough times, we want to isolate, we want to withdraw. It's hard enough to read our Bibles. We don't even know where it is. Praying is impossible. And we withdraw and withdraw. But to keep growing, we need to learn how to read, how to pray, how to stay connected with our support in church, with our church family, that we will grow in love. So there's lots of different ways we can do that, but I just wanted to share one of my walks. You know, every so often I like to talk about a walk I've done or a tree I've seen or something like that. And I just want to show you this picture of my ideal refreshing my soul kind of place. You know when sometimes you just have to put some legs on it and you have to put something in action. So I like having the kind of walk that has a lot of what I call thinking benches. Now, my husband's the opposite. He wants to climb mountains and go as far as he can and do all these real challenging stuff. I'm like, I need a thinking bench. I need something with water. So that's normally quite a flat walk as well, for those of you that know. So, but I love these kind of thinking benches. And there are certain walks that I have as regular ones where I have a regular thinking bench on different walks. And sometimes people may be sat on my bench. Oh, no. How rude! I'm going to actually get a bench with my name on it. Oh, people would still sit on it, but there we go. But I love the fact that when we are just walking, I have to have these times when I'm just out with nature, just stopping, sometimes literally just say nothing. Don't say a thing, just sit in God's presence. Sometimes just letting those lovely reminders that even the sparrows are looked after by God, so why am I worrying? Even the flowers, that there's loads of them around at the minute, isn't there? Look at them, how God has robed them so splendidly. Why am I worrying? They're gone by tomorrow. We have these incredible verses that because we are reading, God can just drop these verses into our mind when we need that encouragement, when we need a word from him. So I love to have a stop, have a think, have a look at the water. Reminds me of the living water of life. I love to have my soul refreshed. For the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, and in the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. What psalm was that? 23. God restores our soul. So I want to encourage you, when do you take those, as the psalmist says, Selah moments? When we read all the way through Psalms, and every so often we have these little footnotes that says Selah. It means stop, breathe out, take a break. Stop before your God on these incredible thinking benches, thinking moments. Where is God restoring your soul? Where is that place that you just need to have that breath to breathe out, to pray, to read, to remember that you are incredibly important as a supporting ligament? So while I'm on my little walks, which I love, I also see these sort of benches. So a little bit more overgrown, not quite as comfortable to sit on. Sometimes great views still, but haven't been maintained. And sometimes those thorns and thistles and things that grow on it are a little bit prickly. So it's not quite as comfortable. You could still sort of move things away, and if you had a bit of a tired leg, but you'd probably move on a little bit because this bench hasn't been maintained. Very slowly, things creep in. Proverbs 24 tells us, I went past the vineyard of someone who had no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds. The stone wall was in ruins. I applied to my heart what I observed, and I learnt a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty comes upon you like a thief. Very quickly, we can have that poverty spirit, not just about money, about life, where we actually become quite prickly, where we actually aren't that inviting for people to come and sit with us and join with us and stop and ponder life. And we're not that helpful in our role as supporting ligaments. But this, I'm going to actually give you a challenge on this next slide. This is actually a bench. If you look very closely, you can see. Now, I'm going to challenge you to actually go and find this bench. So anybody that walks Jumbles Way or Entwistle round that kind of, that's where it is. So this bench actually has exactly the same beautiful view as the first slide. It's right on the edge of a reservoir. It's got gorgeous things around it, trees and plants and all these things that come around. And yet it is completely hidden and overgrown. Over the years, we've seen this bench get more and more buried. Every time there's a winter, every time there's rains that are torrential or heavy, the mud and the sludge has literally risen up so much that you can't see the legs at all. In fact, a couple of years ago, we were laughing, going, you literally just lay on the floor there, basically, because there is nothing that looks like anything that you could sit on. But then over the recent years, the thorns and the thistles and the weeds have got this so you wouldn't even know that that bench was there unless you knew. One of the things that I really felt this morning God would want you to know is that you may feel completely overwhelmed, you may feel completely hidden, completely unseen, and God would have you be reminded today, you are seen. He knows you, he loves you. He knows that you're overwhelmed. He knows that even the aroma of this place isn't great anymore because that like stinking mud, sludgy sort of thing is not very attractive to be with. Even though all those prickles and thorns are there, have you ever heard the phrase, hurting people hurt people? And it just reminded me of that sometimes when we're hurt and we're overwhelmed, we can actually push everybody away. We don't want you with us. We don't want to have those supporting ligaments around. We just want to wallow a little bit in the situation that we are in when we're overwhelmed by why me? Why is this not going on? Very much those Job moments when everything's going wrong. But you know, the best time that Job's friends did the best job wasn't that they came and sat and judged and criticized and tried to make things better. They just sat and listened. And even for those of us that maybe we've got prickly people in our lives at the minute, we're really worried about them and we don't particularly know what to do. Let's just sit. Let's just listen. Let's ignore the aroma that isn't so sweet. Let's know that underneath all that there is this beautiful thinking bench where people will want to gather and will do again. Do you know, there's a verse in Lamentations and it just says, we are like gold that has lost its luster and has become dull. But do you know what, church? We're still gold. We are still gold. And when God has that refining fire that comes and purifies and burns up all the dross and gets rid of all these prickles and thorns and burns it again, then there is an incredible revelation, a fresh point of that sweetness again, that sweet aroma of Christ that gets rid of the sludge and the muck and all the things that have stopped us being attractive to the people in our lives. Or maybe it's someone that you are so worried about. Just love them. Just be with them. Read, pray, have those supporting ligaments around you and be there for them, even when they might not feel that they want it. Because the worst thing we can do is isolate and withdraw. And that's a very good scheme of the devil to just try and stop us being around people that love us and care for us. I was reminded with, you know, anyone else been following Rob Burrows? And, you know, he's an incredible inspiration, isn't he? But oh, I was thinking of his family today, first Father's Day without their dad. And it reminded me of a year, very odd, quite a challenging year that we had when one of my kids was still at primary school, and we had like a group of school mums, all amazing women. And in a very small group of mums, it's not a big school, there were five of my friends that had terminal diagnosis in one year. Really intense, very intense. Prayed solidly for all of them. One of them had MND, and it just reminded me with all the things that we've been seeing with Rob. And today, two of them are still here. Three of them aren't. There is a mystery as why has God not healed some and has healed others? Prayed for them all. Why have some gone on to have healthy lives now and some be lost? But you know, church, there is only one truth, and that is, in this world you will have trouble. John 16, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so sometimes we're not very good at thinking of the tale of two halves when we have to sit in lament. You know, as you can tell, I've been reading Lamentations, and it's this incredible thing where it's called, basically, Jeremiah who wrote it, it's called the Weeping Prophet, and it talks about grief and loss. But lament is actually a really powerful and meaningful form of worship. Sometimes it's not about us running on. So, and I don't want this to upset you, but I do want us to just focus on, I don't know what Rob Burrows' beliefs were, what his faith was, but this is an incredible message, his final message that they released after his death. So just watch this.
I'm just a lad from Yorkshire who got to live out his dream of playing rugby league. As a father of three young children, I would never want any family to have to go through what my family and children have since my diagnosis. I hope I have left a mark on the disease. I hope it's yours to live in the moment. I hope you find inspiration from the whole story. My final message to you is, whatever your personal battle, be brave and face it. Every single day is precious. Don't waste a moment. In a world full of adversity, we must still dare to dream.
Gets me every time. Whatever your personal battle, be brave and face it. Every single day is precious. Don't waste a moment. In a world full of adversity, we must still dare to dream. His words, I hope you find inspiration. It's a mystery. But what we know is that in this incredible present weakness that we live in, we carry the hope of the resurrection life. In these jars, these incredible treasure that is in jars of clay, we have this all-surpassing power that is from God, it's not from us. Even when we have all these things that feel that they are crushing down on us, and death is at work in us. Know that life is at work in you. Eternal hope is at work in you, and do not lose heart. Do you know over a third of the Psalms are given to lament? Psalm 56, it says, "You keep track of my sorrows. You've collected my tears in your bottle, and you've recorded each one of them in your book." God knows. He sees you. If you're feeling overwhelmed and lacking in luster, or you're feeling dull, or you're feeling that all those thorns and hedges have grown so hard that you don't even know where to start about being able to see the hope within the battle, well, it's okay, because God does. It's okay to be able to healthily embrace our lament as well. You don't have to just rush on. Do you know, if you had a trauma, normal shock process would be 4 to 6 weeks. If you have a bereavement or grief, the normal grief process is 12 months plus. So why, as Pentecostals, do we insist on moving straight to the all singing, all dancing, everything's good, hallelujah moments, when actually the growth is in the process? Growth is in the process. You know, let's not worry about rushing on from things, but to embrace that our life is a tale of two halves. We have our perfect weakness, and we have resurrection life. I'm going to ask the band just to come back up, and I just want to read us from Lamentations. It says this: "For even when I called out and cried for help, God shuts out my prayers. Is he even listening to me? When I've been deprived of peace, I've forgotten what prosperity even is. But then I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions will never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Even when you don't know it, you don't see it, you feel buried, the sludge is too high, you feel not fit for purpose anymore, you feel like that prickly thorn bush. Do you know what? You are still gold. There is gold, and you are carrying this all-surpassing greatness of God in you. We have the tension of death with the beautiful hope of the life of Jesus. Eternal hope and eternal promise. And the reason that we have this is because of when Jesus died on the cross. He took bread, even though he knew he was betrayed that night, and he gave thanks and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant. This is the new covenant. This is the promise of new eternal life in his blood. That whenever you drink it in remembrance of me, eat and drink this until I come again." Lord, I just pray, God, may we examine our hearts now as we come to your communion table. God, I pray, Father, for anyone that just needs prayer as well, that they will be brave to have people pray with them this morning. That, God, for those that need anointing with oil, that, God, that they will come out to be anointed. God, I pray, Father, as we take this communion, this reminder of your body and your blood being shed for us and broken for us, so that even though we wrestle in this present weakness, that, God, we are carriers of resurrection life. God, we thank you, Father God, that you have gone before us. And in Jesus' name, I thank you that there is times for everything. But God, in this growth process, we embrace the lament and we embrace the joy. God, I thank you, Lord, For everything has a time. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and uproot, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And they are all good seasons. Do you know, I was just reminded that we think of seasons and being a good Brit, I'm like thinking spring, summer, autumn, winter, and there's that expectation of what the next season's going to look like. Well, I must be near the end of winter now, it's spring, although I had the heating on the other day and it's nearly summer. You know, we've got these seasons, haven't we, that we're thinking the next season's coming. And sometimes there is that process, you know, that you can see things happening and you can see in grief and bereavement that there are these different processes to go through. But God reminded me, when I was in Asia for a year, they didn't have spring, summer, autumn, winter. They had rainy season and dry season. Your season might not look what you expect it to be. You're thinking, my next season's going to be this. Winter's gone, spring's coming. But actually, maybe your seasons are just looking different. Maybe people that you're encouraging and sitting with, you're waiting for the next season. And God's saying, I know what is the right season for them, for this time. You might be thinking spring, summer, autumn, winter, spring, summer, autumn, winter. But maybe for them, there's dry season and there's a monsoon of rain, of Holy Spirit, absolute drenching them with a revelation that is so far removed from anything that they have ever seen, had or imagined. So maybe they're in a dry bit right now, but the rains are coming. The rains are coming so we can live in eternal hope of all that Christ has done in us, to know that we are carrying this all-surpassing power in our present weaknesses. So let's embrace the lament. Let us brace the joy. Let us brace the mourning, because all of them are incredible, significant times of growth. So as we come out for communion now, just be with God to grow. Read your Bible. Pray. Keep those supporting ligaments of church and good Christian friends around you. Let's support one another to be able to be free to know that everything we've sung about and prayed today, we have this eternal hope within us. Resurrection life. So as you come for communion, if you need prayer for something you are stuck in, maybe some worries that you are carrying, that you are feeling like that last bench and you are overwhelmed, just let us pray with you. Let us anoint you with oil if you need that healing, so that oil is flowing over your head and you have that fresh anointing again. In Jesus' name, amen.